This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just played a clip of Linsanity. Jeremy Lin, Linsanity, as a
You Heard It Here on the Fan.
I'm very curious how Tommy Lugar would answer this question. Which Linsanity meant more to you, Jeremy Lin or Francisco Lindor last year?
Oh, Francisco Lindor.
Okay. Good answer.
No. Yeah.
Good answer. There are three NFL teams that as of now have submitted rule changes for the league to go over at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them we've heard about, nothing new. The Packers want to ban the brotherly shove, the tush push. The Philadelphia Eagles want to unify overtime so that the rules of the postseason are the same as the rules of the regular season. So change the regular season overtime rules to match the postseason where both teams get a possession, even if you score a touchdown. But the one I wanted to bring up to you, which would greatly affect the New York Jets on a lot of levels, is something the Lions are proposing. To eliminate an automatic first down as a penalty for defensive holding or illegal contact. And the reason that would greatly affect the Jets is twofold. Since 2023, the team who's been called for the most defensive holds is the Detroit Lions with 26. The team with the second, and of course Aaron Glenn comes from Detroit.
Yep.
The team with the second most defensive holds in illegal contact since 2023, the New York Jets. So,
nice.
Forgetting the bias that I would have as a Jet fan, would you want that?
I don't know if I'd mind it, because at the end of the day, you want athletes to be athletes and play. And sometimes it feels like the rules are getting in the way of just letting the game be played. Now, if it's egregious, you got to call it. But I don't know if, I mean, I wouldn't mind it.
Interesting.
Would you?
Okay, so to give you a fair answer, I think it really depends on the situation. Like, where it really drives me nuts, especially when it happens and it's called on the Jets, is when it's a ticky-tack on a 3rd and 30 or a 3rd and 20. I'm exaggerating, but those 3rd and longs in which you think you're off the field and it's like a 20-yard to gain situation.
Yeah, and they get a 5-yard.
Yeah, that's a killer. It's the worst. Now, it's different in certain circumstances. If it's an egregious penalty and it's a 2nd and 7, it's like, it should be an automatic first down. But I think when it's a 3rd and really long, or dare I say a 4th and really long, and you're forced to go for it late in the game, those feel very game-breaking. And they feel ticky-tack.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's the situation. Like, we talked recently about a rule change that I don't think it's been proposed quite yet, but it will, is the idea of getting rid of the onside kick and allowing teams to go for like a 4th and 20 to get the ball back.
It's just so much more interesting.
Yes. My negative to that would be I wouldn't want an illegal contact to be an automatic first down or a defensive hold in a situation like that, because those are the ones that bother me.
Yeah, because you see some coaches. Who was this? Was it Kyle Shanahan? Didn't Kyle Shanahan go up to one of the referees, a side judge or a line judge, and say he's gonna pass interference. He's gonna hold him on this play, and lo and behold, he held him because the coach can design a play that almost forces the defender to be in a position to hold a guy.
Yes.
And so fourth and 20 for your onside kick, you just design a play that's going to create a penalty.
And that's the worst.
Yes.
That's where I wouldn't want it. That's an interesting one. Proposed by the Detroit Lions, who coincidentally have the most of those penalties over the last 2 years. And I am not surprised when I saw the Jets were second, because as a Jet fan, it feels like it happens every week. And they always seem to happen on these horrible game-breaking situations, like third and 11.
Yep.
And the defense is about to get off the field, and there's the laundry, and up, there it is, automatic first down. Let's go to Connor in Goshen, New York. What's up, Connor?
Hey, guys. Quickly, I know that you guys were just talking about before one of the segments about Kirk Cousins, and Sean was really, you know, possibly of even getting. I would not want to give up any of my draft choices right now, especially me being a Giants fan, only if we were going to get a quarterback back into the first round. Because as we know, what we've seen with the Giants, this team needs a lot of depth, and we need a quarterback. So, I mean, we can get a quarterback back in later in the draft. I mean, trading back into the first round, those draft choices are going to be critical for the Giants to possibility of getting a quarterback. I would not want to waste on a Kirk Cousins. Who, you know, I think we've seen the best of Kirk Cousins.
I think there's a great chance we've seen the best of Kirk Cousins, and I agree. Not that I want to hoard draft picks, but giving one away because I have an extra one doesn't seem to be prudent thinking.
Yeah, especially when you still think you have holes. And I think the Giants do. They still have some holes to fill. And so the best thing you can do is draft, even if it's an extra offensive lineman, draft them and develop them. Stash them away for a year or two, like the Philadelphia Eagles do. And eventually those guys learn a system, they learn a culture, and before you know it, they're Pro Bowlers. That's what the Eagles have done that every single year over the last half a decade.
If that's what you're looking to do with the pick is, I have too many holes, I need to fill up the third round, I live with that. What I can't hear is, you might need that to trade back into the first round to take another one of these quarterbacks, whether it's Milroe, Dart.
Why?
Because here's why. Why is the argument that this quarterback class sucks, but everybody is so damn willing to give up draft capital to go get somebody not named Cam Ward in this draft? Like, that infuriates me. And if I'm going to do that with my third round pick, then at least give me the year of Kirk Cousins that could help stabilize this freaking organization.
Well, because if you view a quarterback on your draft board like a Jalen Milroe, we'll use him as an example, or the kid from Syracuse, Kyle McCord, and you really like them, you're obviously not going to take them at three.
No.
But you see the value of coming back into the earlier part of the second round, or let's say the later part of the first round makes more sense, since you already have a pick in the early part of the second round, to grab them there. So you can still get a really good player at the top of the draft, but then also add a quarterback that you're high on. Like, a blanket statement on the quarterback draft not being good is not a good enough reason to use a third-round pick to acquire a player.
I understand the
argument. I also think your thinking is so flawed. Like, and if I'm getting this wrong, correct me. You are okay trading a third-round pick because you usually screw up your third-round picks? Is that basically what you're saying?
It actually has nothing to do with the Giants. It has to do with, from the compensatory picks on, the likelihood of hitting on a starter is extremely low.
You drafted Julian Love in the fourth round 5 years ago.
Okay, we could cherry pick certain parts. There are, of course, success stories. My point is, the percentages in NFL history, not Giant history, tell you those picks on are very low that they're going to be a serious contributing starter. Now, I understand throwing a dart and maybe a develop one and you get a Julian Love. But to say that that's the kind of pick that would hold you back on getting the most important position corrected for 1 year for the Giants, I think is short-sighted.
I think the challenge, though, is that what if he actually is shot? What if you've already seen the best of Kirk Cousins?
Which is possible.
Exactly.
I didn't even say likely.
And again, I'm not knocking Kurt. I'm just it's the reality of being 37 or soon to be 38 years old.
Then you just took a third round pick, like you're bowling, and you put it in the gutter.
And you burned it.
And you burned it. Yeah, that one's better. Let's go to Andre in Connecticut. What's up, Andre? Hello, Andre.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're good, dude. What's
good.
Up?
Ohtani today. I want to know why MLB is giving away home runs now.
Yeah.
The guy's talented enough. Why are we giving away home runs? And my second point to MLB is, why do we start the season and then put these teams back into the spring training camps? That just doesn't make any sense to me. These games could have been played next week, early next week.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the Mets to...
Let's start with your second point. Then we'll explain the call in the game where Ohtani was, you know, given, basically gifted a home run.
Right.
I agree with you that these international games are very popular. They're important. I'm not just going to sit here as a jingoistic American and say get rid of them. What I'm going to say is place them in a different spot. Because I agree with our last caller, and I agree with the majority of baseball fans
that it
shouldn't be the first game of the season.
Not location-wise.
No.
You're talking on where the schedule is.
The calendar.
Yeah.
I have proposed having it right out of the All-Star break. Our last caller proposed just doing it as the season starts and then giving these guys those off days early in the baseball season. Mm-hmm. I think there are different ways you can get around the travel issue, but having it on March 19th and March 18th before the regular baseball season starts leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth, and baseball should change it.
Well, especially because they go back to spring training. That's what makes no sense.
Yeah.
More than anything. It's just, why are you incentivized as a player? And it's likely to be the other guys on the squad anyways, but still, it's just weird.
The whole thing is strange. International games are fine. Just put it in a different part of the year, and I know it's challenging because of the travel, but figure out a way.
At least they don't have to take an ocean liner.
Like Babe Ruth did?
Like Babe Ruth did. Yes. We talked about that the other day. How did Babe Ruth get to Japan
to
play those exhibition games? Well, first they went to British Columbia, Vancouver, and then took a boat to Hawaii, and then from Hawaii they went to Japan, even though that's 6,200 and something miles.
Why'd they do that? Why didn't they go to San Diego and take a boat from there?
Does that make more sense? If you're going to go to British Columbia, go the northern route.
Oh, you can't do that. That's dangerous.
Why is it dangerous?
Because of the snow and the ice.
The ice?
And the conditions.
Well, do you know where the Titanic hit the iceberg?
Yes.
Where?
In the Atlantic Ocean.
In North Atlantic.
Yeah.
But it's not even close to the Greenland. It's lower than where Babe Ruth, if they had gone north, would have interacted ice.
That's why it was dangerous.
You can hit ice anywhere.
It's dangerous.
Of course it's dangerous.
All I know is it took Babe Ruth 2 weeks on an ocean liner. And by the way, Babe wasn't the only guy. We're just only mentioning his name because no one wants to put respect on Jimmy Fox's name. But they all were on these boats for 2 weeks. Now, the Ohtani point. Yeah, it took 2 weeks.
Yeah, and they'll be on a plane for, I don't know, a day.
Yeah, you're right. Ohtani hit a home run in the fifth inning that appeared, in my humble opinion, as an IBO, to be brought over the fence by a fan.
Yes.
So they had review, because we have review in baseball, and even after the review, they upheld the home run. To me, it was clear as day that a fan reached over and grabbed the home run.